You're listening to The Last Word on Hockey with Jim Behringer, Coach Jay, and Mark Weiss on Northeast Streaming Sports.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Mad Radio Network. This is the Last Word on Hockey show, season 3, episode 14. I'm your host, Jim Behringer, alongside Coach Jay, Mark Weiss. Gentlemen, welcome back to another episode, another fantastic week of hockey on the ice here as we discuss a lot of topics today. But I just want to say welcome back again, guys.
What's going on, man?
Lots of topics.
Before we get into everything, obviously you see Mark's jerseys behind him, finest. I got mine on as well. Represent the two fallen heroes, NYPD, that were slain and the funeral yesterday. We just want to represent for those guys. We have a lot of friends that we play hockey with that are cops. So
that's where I met you, guy. I was on the bench doing the camera and running the bench, taking pictures. That was at the finest tournament at Lake Placid. With
it was the day we realized that not many people knew what a 1-2-2 was.
Exactly, yeah. It was definitely for sure.
That was the embryo of a show.
That was definitely the embryo of a show. Me, you, Fetter, Jay, sitting around doing a lot of stuff. But that's story time in the summer. That's a story everybody wants to hear. But we got a lot to discuss today. One of which is Henrik Lundqvist night last night. The New York Rangers retired number 30 to the rafters. I see some comments coming in. We'll get to them in a little bit. To the rafters, one of the best to ever do it. Yes, I'm a Devils fan, but I respect goaltending. I respect good players, and I respect him as a player, person, and still probably has the best hair in hockey, even though he's not playing.
and his twin brother looks like his clone.
Yeah, jeez.
My wife came in last night watching the thing. Goes, wow, he's good looking. I says, you see your twin brother? You want to meet him? Hey, bye. She's like, bye.
I think it was a great ceremony. Nobody does these things like Madison Square Garden. No. They're really theatrical. They really know how to put on a show and do those kind of things. There was a lot of emotion going on with it. Obviously, you sit there and you watch it, and you know, it's like when you hear a guy say, "I came on the scene in 2005, and it's 2022, and he's retired." Like, wow, that's like we're retiring numbers of people who started after the year 2000. It shows you just like how far we've gone in hockey and how the eras have changed. But greatest, maybe the greatest hair in hockey history, no question about it. Probably the snappiest dresser in hockey history. And dare I say, the best goalie to never have won a Stanley Cup.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, the guy named Price might win that title down the road, but he's still playing, so he can't claim it.
No, he cannot claim it. I mean, he cannot claim it. He's still playing, and we'll see where Carey Price plays this year or if he plays next year, whenever he decides to hang it up or wherever he decides to go. But
watching from his first game, I know something about him. And he took over that you know, when once he came up and give it a week, see that speech and everything he gave last night to be a goalie, to give homage to the goalie that took over when you were in net at the time he came up, is class that not everyone has. But he was amazing. Oh my God. Amazing.
Yeah. Hey, Coach Jay, when you saw him that first time or that first year, what struck you about him specifically that said that not only is this guy going to, you know, keep this spot, but he's going to be one of those guys who's going to stand out and probably, you know, keep that spot for well over a decade and change.
The way he played the position, the way he made saves, there was nothing that wasn't, it was like coming from a Richter to a Lundqvist, just bigger, with a lot, and just looking like, from going from one side to the other, you could see he wasn't just coming across to make a save. He was located on that puck when he was doing it. I mean, and he would just do whatever. You love those kind of goalies, and he was who would have guessed a seventh round pick? I mean, come on, all right, playing in his first game, did anyone think a seventh round pick was going to be a Hall of Famer and just take over for 15 years the way he did? No.
It tells you how the advanced scouting of European players has come such a long way since then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I didn't – like I said, I wasn't sure I wasn't sure what to expect when Lundqvist came in, but I could tell you, as a Devils fan playing against him, he was so tough. He took, you know, he heart and soul of the Ranger team for many years. They really didn't give him the run support or the puck support as much as they should have. He carried a lot of those Rangers teams.
Which says even more.
Yeah, exactly. Which says even
those
more.
Those were those 2-1 games that Tortorella set his team up to play.
Right. But you know what? Not only that, you know, he won a gold medal with Sweden. He won stuff with his brother. You know, international success. Yes, he never won a Stanley Cup, but you know what? He took a Rangers team to a Stanley Cup final that probably didn't deserve going there. Then they went back to a conference final the following year, lost to Tampa. So they had a nice stretch run there from 2012 to about 2015 where, you know, they were a good team, legit contender to win a Stanley Cup, and they just couldn't get across the board. Real quick before we do anything, you know, Ricky says hi. He says he also says the Rangers got screwed, so we could talk about that. Captain Choke, and he says he was a big Rangers fan guy. He thinks he's overrated, and everybody drank the Kool-Aid. Ricky, thanks for your opinion on that. Guy says hi to me and the fellas, and here's Ricky's other opinion on Henrik Lundqvist. So, you know, look, so many popular opinions about this guy. I mean, he's definitely a likable guy. You know, played so hard for the Rangers. I like his quote last night. His heart wasn't in it after he signed with Washington. It was kind of cheekily saying, you know what, it's the only place he needs to play is the is New York.
He also had a heart issue. Yeah. Instead of like a little punny.
Oh. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Two heart surgeries. Two. They had to do it twice. They haven't even be standing there. He's 37. You'd think we're 50, you know, we're 50 somethings. You know,
we are. Jim isn't.
We are.
I am not.
Jim is not. Yeah. But, and to stand there, I mean, he must have, we can't even put in our minds where he's at that moment with the two heart surgeries to be standing having your number retired after like everything in a 2-year span. But look, Girardi they had on last night. I mean, look at the guys that went to war for him, blocking shots and everything that was required under Torts. You can't hold a goalie if you didn't win a cup because it's a team. It's the team. He can steal a win, but he can't win the whole thing on his own.
How many games?
To hold it against any goalie for not winning a cup. I have a list of goalies here that did not win cups, just to bring it up.
Just ramble a few of them off so people at home can get an idea of like how tough it is, especially in the non-06 era.
All right. Now, like Jim, like I was saying, I heard you on the other show and you were like, oh, we're going to be talking about this, this, and this. And I didn't see it on the itinerary talking. So I said, let me do my own and find the goalies with no cups.
Okay.
Let's give it to you. Said on Dan, on the Danch, let's
talk sports. Yes. Let's talk sports.
Just to let you know.
So look, he's listening. We got a follower. Yo, shout out to Dan.
Yeah.
Let's talk sports for having me on.
Thanks
the Man Radio Network.
About how our show goes. You know, it is
so. And he loves promoting us. He loves doing it. Big community. Big shout out to the Let's Talk Sports family for allowing us to be shared on that community because we get a lot of followers from there. So thank you. Jay, what do you got?
We got old, and I used to bring his name up, Mike Liu. You had Kelly Rudy, great goalie.
Kelly Rudy went to a Stanley Cup final with LA.
Islanders, Kings, right? Thomas Vokoun, who I brought up on the goalies with stats that aren't in the Hall of Fame that the stats equal to guys that are in that he won't get in because he hasn't won.
I'm waiting for you to say Luongo.
Well, Luongo's on there too. Curtis Joseph is on there. Ron Hextall.
There it is. Guy says Cujo.
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 Ryan Miller.
What about
Olive Kolzig? Do you remember that goalie?
Olive Kolzig brought the Washington Capitals to a Stanley Cup final against Detroit in 1998.
Yeah, that's right. And the other Ranger up there that didn't win a cup, Eddie Jockeman.
What about John Van Beesbrook?
Beezer's on there too. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned Beezer out of respect for his Ranger years. It wasn't Richter. They picked Richter over him to go for the cup. He goes what to Florida, has a great career. You know, you can't hold it against a player because their team didn't win a cup if he should make it in the Hall of Fame or be honored for what he gave the team like Lundqvist was. Because if we watched it last night, you could tell there was always that part that, oh, he made it to a game seven. It's like you don't have to try and sell him to Ranger fans what right. he is meant. And because he didn't win the cup, they would never have made it to the finals if it wasn't for him against the Kings that year with that team. But that team fought in front of him. They all went, they didn't make it, but they didn't make it together. I mean, and you can't blame one player for not winning a cup.
You might have to thank Mr. Kreider for running over Carey Price.
Yeah. I mean, well, Chris Kreider's having a phenomenal year for the Rangers this year.
That was his rookie year.
Yeah, it was. Ricky brought up something. He said that you know, he was the I won, we lost kind of guy. It kind of bothered him a little bit. What are you guys' thoughts about that? I mean, that's kind of how he came off in a lot of the press conferences, you know, after games. I mean, what do you guys think on that?
You want to go first?
I'm not a big I guy. You guys know I'm not a big I guy in those things.
You want me to say it as a goalie?
Yes, say it as a goalie.
There are plenty of times you face 60 shots a game. You know you're going into a game facing 60 shots a game, whatever, and you're going to lose most of them, but you don't give up, and you keep doing it. But after a while, you're like, come on, what about the guys in front of me? You're like, but he could never say that about the Girardis and everyone who was blocking shots, trying to help him out.
The Stalls, the McDonough.
Because everything was leaned on him. It was.
But he had great defense in front of him.
I mean, that's how Torts made that team with him was it was obvious.
Lundqvist, you play defense,
forget offense. It's Lundqvist that I'm leaning on to win this. And after a while, I guess you come to a point. Sometimes you're just like, you don't want to say it because every captain takes it on himself for a loss. But after a while, you're like, come on. If it wasn't for me, come on, because every time you're doing it, you're doing 2-1 games, 3-1 games, you're facing all these shots, they're leaning on you. You're like, why not open up the game, let these guys play? Sometimes it's because you're put in that position to go into a game that it's going to be all on me. And after a while, all of our egos, just like we don't want to give up the crease at any time to someone else. So, but to say I won, it had to have been because he was so frustrated. How many goalies are eager to say, here, next goalie, here, take my job, I'm going, I'm leaving. Except for Patrick Waugh, who said, yeah, I had enough of this, you know.
Well, yeah, but also don't forget, they hung Patrick Waugh out to dry.
Yeah. Sometimes a goalie feels like they're being hung up to dry. Like I'm just being.
But coach, isn't that part of the game too? Sometimes as a goalie, you got to take one for the team because maybe the other guy's playing tomorrow night, so you got to stay in there and take it. Unfortunately,
absolutely. That's why I like playing offense a lot. After a certain time, I was losing so much. I'm facing so many shots. I'm like, you know what? Let someone else get shot. I like shooting on people too. You know, instead of always having to get in the net, facing it all the time. But it's a mental thing. You know, it's like I'm in there and
I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass on the I and the we thing. And I just because of the body of work and the fact
that
these post-game interviews, sometimes you're just really raw after those. And, you know, you're frustrated. And sometimes maybe you don't say the right things or, you know what,
You hate losing. Didn't
want to. I don't know the answer on that.
But, yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's just a topic of conversation that, yeah. you know, we made a comment. I want to, you know, address.
Like he bled the Ranger blue. And
absolutely.
Oh, without a doubt. More than that.
No, exactly. I mean, he played great for the Rangers. I mean, all those years, I mean, up to the end. I mean, he was a consummate teammate even when they had the three-headed monster going. He knew he had to take a backseat. And that's why, you know, when they put, you know, they maybe had done it a year or two later than they probably should have. But, hey, you know what? Lundqvist always said he didn't want to leave New York. There were opportunities for him to go to Dallas when San Jose. There were so many chances.
I still think they contend if he would have gone to San Jose back then, he would have won at least one cup.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if he had gone to San Jose, it would have worked out. But you know,
he didn't want to leave New York City.
No, of course not.
This city, and you know, that's why I say you give him a pass on the
absolutely
because he showed it by he didn't want to leave here.
Right. Exactly. And how
negative.
And how many guys have play their entire career with one team? I mean,
yeah. If we would have seen him play that final year in Washington, it would have been so awful.
Oh.
You know, yeah. I don't want to. I mean, I'm glad he's recovered from the heart surgeries, and I never would want anyone to go through it. But selfishly, I'm glad he only wore the blue.
Yeah, I mean, it's like for me with like Brodeur, those St. Louis years, it's just like it just didn't look right, and he should have just retired after that game that he had against Boston. It was fine. It was everything. But the Rangers are, you know, a little bit of a skid right now, a couple-game losing streak. I mean, last night, you know, how fitting is it? There's a non-goaltender interference call, and Matt Zuccarello scores and gets an assist. That, you know, you knew that was a lock he was scoring that night. Last
without
night.
A doubt.
I mean, it hurts that Fox is out of lineup past the All-Star game. But, yep. You know.
Upper body injury?
Yes, it is. And, you know, there's rumors now that they may have a reunion with a guy in Vancouver named JT Miller. What do you guys think about potentially having him come back? I know
I've seen this on all the Vancouver sites that I went on the fan sites. I look at it and Vancouver knows they're not going anywhere. And if you're not going anywhere and you got a guy who's playing as well as Miller's been playing, you sell because it's not like you're looking at a guy who's been a lifelong Canuck. So you sell at a high point. I'm sure, you know, the Rangers can afford to give up some young defensemen. They've only cornered the market in it.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the move. It's going to wind up if they do get him. And I know Ranger fans have had a knock on Miller too over the years, thinking he didn't give it 110% and there was little left in the tank. I think he's played a lot better in Vancouver than he did in New York. So if they make that deal, I think it helps both teams.
Yeah. I mean, as a Ranger fan watching him play and everything, it was like him and Faust were defensive offensemen during the playoffs. That as a Ranger fan, I think he would be perfect on the third line, you know, with a Goodrow. Don't expect him to score. And if he scores, great. But he has playoff experience from those times with the Rangers. I can handle New York. You can't just like trade for any player, and he's proven he can handle New York because he played there. At this point in his career, you're not looking for him to be in the top six. And if he does fill in the top six, you're not sorry for what he gives you.
No, you're not.
It's about the playoff push. It would be a great deal, and they wouldn't have to give up the top of the pool that's down there to get him.
They don't have to trade a good Ute.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I think he'd be a great fit for the Rangers. Yeah, I know a lot of people said that it was tough for him to see to go as part of that trade. But you know what? It was done for business reasons. Same with Buchnevich. It was done for a business reason. And look, you can bring Miller back. He's going to provide depth, exactly what you need down the middle. Now you get through this stretch without Fox. It's a short week. You have the All-Star break. Then you come back, try to get healthy coming in there. Rangers are definitely playing well. And you know what? They might not only be looking, but they could be sending a player out as well. I know we've talked about Georgiev. And as I mentioned to you guys, seems like Edmonton is going to look at him and be a piece to be moved. And, remember
to somebody.
Right. Exactly. And remember, you know, as I told you in the group text this week, a lot of the insiders are, you know, saying what we've been saying for months in here, tying Georgiev to the Oilers if as a long-term solution, which is something that they need to do and address because they just added Evander Kane, officially announcing, signing him to a one-year deal. bringing in depth on the left wing, and I just put it out this morning, Full Press NHL, go check it out, is Evander Kane what the Oilers need right now? And my opinion, as great a player as he is, great as effect, as great as he is offensively, the Oilers are 11th in the league goals per game. They're 11th in the NHL in goals against per game, giving up 3.33. They score about 3.21 goals per game. They don't need him offensively. What they do need is a goaltender and defense, and they could have spent it a little bit better. But again, Kenny Holland felt his team needed it, and they're going to add, but I'm not sure that he's the right fit for him.
I mean, he was going to go somewhere, obviously, and that's, you know, that we knew. But the key thing for Edmonton is the championship teams are built from the net out. Man. And this team needs a goaltender, so that tells you, number one, where the problem is. And their defense is nothing to write home about either. And they addressed an issue that wasn't really an issue. You know, I understand they need depth because obviously if you put the big two together, then you have three very, very weak lines. You separate them, and it sometimes it might be a little bit of a challenge. But scoring wasn't the issue here. And if scoring was the issue, then they might as well just blow the whole thing up.
You know what? They maybe bringing him in is the reason that they may make a deal and be able to give up like a Nugent Hopkins for a top quality goalie. Because now you're adding more grit and getting the – I mean, he was a number one pick. He's not there for his goal scoring.
I mean, they just re-signed Nugent Hopkins to an extension.
They're not getting rid of that guy.
But in order to get a Fleury, in order to get a Gorgiev for the play, for a goalie run at the, this year, they may have to trade and have more guys like, you know, that they need, like the Hymans that Toronto would need for your playoff run with a goalie. Who knows? I
mean, the thing is, if they're gonna make a trade to get a guy like Fleury, Chicago doesn't want a player now. They want a guy who's going to be a player in 2 years,
right,
or 3 years.
And you have to sell Fleury on the idea of coming to Edmonton because he has all the power. Like with Kane, they can't trade him because he has a full no-move clause because they just signed him and he's not going anywhere. Look, yes, it helps on their left wing. I get it because, you know, you want to split up Drysdale, McDavid. You know, Guy brings up a point. Nope, they need to trade McDavid. If there's one guy that's going to be traded down the road is the guy that got into the fight with the Edmonton media, and that's Drysdale. That's the guy who's going to want out, not the captain. It's going to be Drysdale.
Not the face of the franchise.
Right. It's going to be Drysdale is the guy that's going to want out. But Hyman hasn't scored much in a long time. Puljujarvi, the depth scoring is just not there that they've had, and I understand that they need to do it, but they have other needs to address. When you have a -5 goal differential, it's not offense. You cannot outscore your problems in the National Hockey League, especially come the playoff time. Pittsburgh tried to do that for so many years. After they won the first cup, they realized it's defense first.
You can't outscore your problems. That sums the league up in one sentence. You can't outscore your problems. You create more problems when you try to do it because then you open it up too much, and then you open up your biggest liability, which is lack of defense and lack of goaltending, which is what happens to Edmonton.
Well, like you said, definitely goalie they have to upgrade if they want to make a serious, you know, playoff push and run deep to make the playoffs and have a deep run. And
now they're just worried about making the playoffs.
And they got to make the playoffs right now.
Yeah, well, they're going to need a goalie. They're going to need a goalie to count on to start playing 2-3 times in a row, knowing we can count on this guy, and then have a guy like Skinner backing him up. You can't count on Smith. He's getting hurt. Unfortunately, his age. We keep talking about it.
Well, it's an issue.
You got to satisfy McDavid. You got to let these guys think that you're. It's like that trade. If, I mean, you had a guy that's waiting to come, like a Kucherov would come for the Lightning during the playoffs. You had a goalie that was ready to come, like a Rask for the Bruins, ready to come off the injured reserve list instead of making a trade, and you knew it was soon. You could wait, but you can't. Yeah. You can't wait to the trade deadline either to do something about it.
Right, and look, I understand. Like he may never win in Edmonton. I don't know if he's a me first player. I mean, he sounds the way he comes off in the press, and I've listened to his couple of last press conferences, especially stuff around the Kane stuff. You know, he's basically said, you know, the room's going to have control. There's a good leadership group in there. You know, he doesn't really care about what the media thinks and all that stuff. Does he need the place to go to, like, Tampa? I mean, the problem is the culture in Tampa. These places that win all the time have culture from the top all the way through their minor league organizations. And Tampa, Detroit, the model that Steve Yzerman put in cannot be beat. Here's a name that's interesting. Billy Huso out of St. Louis. You know, he's coming along for the Blues right now. I mean, I don't know if they're going to want to give him up considering they have a nice two-headed monster now, Jay. You know, you talk about the tandem, Binnington and Huso now.
Yeah, we didn't know about Huso coming into the beginning of the – when we did the goalie because he was a rookie. Yeah. He had just a couple of starts last year.
Yeah, you didn't know about Binnington until 3 years.
And you know about Billington because he had an off year last year after winning the cup in 2019, and they signed him to that long-term deal. Huso's taking starts from him. He's under contract. You would have to give up a lot. If St. Louis were to give Huso, because they have on them under control, and who knows what they may want to do with Billington. Maybe they can trade. Well, they'll trade Billington and run on Huso.
The thing is, St. Louis is in the mix right now to win the division, so I don't know if they're going to look to move our goalie out. I mean, considering the way he's playing, they could have another Binnington on their hands and march all the way to a Stanley Cup the way they're playing, and I think they're the legit cup contender.
Because they're strong on defense. And the way that system is made, St. Louis.
All right, here you go. So he's actually on the last year of his contract. So he's going to be a UFA. So they're not sure if they could keep him. I don't know. I think you use him as an old rental, to be honest, especially if you're in the mix. And if Binnington's not playing the way he's capable of, I think you have to just use it as an old rental because I think that's what, you know, Nashville's going to do with Philip Forsberg this year. I definitely think they're going to resign him, but he's definitely going to be an own rental because they're not out of the play.
Can they resign him is the question.
I think they can resign him, but the thing is
can you trade when you're in a playoff position?
Right, exactly.
You're basically giving up the playoffs this year to do it.
And Forsberg,
you can't do that to your fan base.
And Forsberg is such a vital piece to their team, and I don't think they're going to want to give him up. So Binnington has a no trade clause, and I guess the Blues have depth in their minor league. So I guess Huso is expendable for the Blues, but I'm not sure that you're going to want to do it. It's like the Rangers have great depth too, but is it the right time to move them unless a big offer comes along? We'll find out in the coming weeks with all this trade talk with the goalies. Another retirement night in Dallas last night. Sergei Zubov, another former Ranger,
deserved it.
He's got what does he got?
Two cups.
One with the Rangers, one with Dallas, and he went to a cup final the following year with Dallas, who's in the Devils. That Dallas Stars team in the late 1990s with him, Lehtinen, Modano, Hall, great teams. Good to see Zubov get honored. He's such a great player, underrated defenseman, one of the better defensemen in the league. That when he played, you know, just a great honor for him.
Yeah, I think Ranger fans always sad that he only played 3 years on Broadway and they traded him, you know, way too early. I think one of the problems was the team got pushed around a little bit and in that point they felt like they needed to get tougher. And they also felt that since they had Brian Leetch, the consummate offensive defenseman, they could get rid of Zubov. And I always just shook my head and said, no, when you could have two guys like that on your power play, you never part with those unique talents. And Zubov could skate, and he could shoot. And as he got older, he became a much better defensive player too. But he was huge for the Rangers in that cup run in 94. One of the most, I would say, unsung heroes. Doesn't get as much credit as he should get. But the guy's a Hall of Famer, and you don't get there by accident.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Guy, thanks for stopping in. All good. All the best with your show. Thanks for the comments. But go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
Amazingly enough, listen, if Leetch wasn't there, who would have been our number one running the power play? Offensive defenseman, Zubov. Zubov was amazing. It's like 1A, 1B in a goalie. How Zubov was the leading scorer for the Rangers during the regular season. He had like 70 assists or something. That's not a fluke. That's a playmaking defenseman that Leetch won two. How do you defend against
And you got
that must have screwed up other teams trying to defend against when the depth and talent that the Rangers had that year. He and what he did in Dallas just proved he is a number one. It was just because Leach was there. Otherwise, it would have been Zuboff.
And him and Hatcher were ridiculous as a combination.
Oh, Hatcher, him and Hatcher. Perfect. For the guy who wasn't tough, for the guy who was going to beat guys up.
If you roughed up Zuby, you know you're going to get Hatcher in your face.
Yeah, Darian Hatcher, you didn't want to mess with those Stars teams. And I love those Stars uniforms, man. They were wearing those throwbacks last night during warm-ups. Please bring those back. I love those jerseys.
Get rid of the lime in black.
Yeah. Bring this back. Bring the white version of this back. I love this jersey. I love this Dallas Stars jersey. It's so good. But yeah, congrats to Sergei Zuboff on a great career. You know, just like you said, consummate pro, great player. Too short with the Rangers, but great with Dallas. And Dallas is resurging right now. Current Stars team right now. I mean, we've talked about them all the time, up and down, up and down.
Well, last night wasn't a good night for them.
No, last night. I mean, teams always lose on ceremony night, but that was their first loss.
Ceremony night is a kiss of death. You might as well play the toughest team in the league on a ceremony night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know, they've been playing better. They put a nice 3-4 game winning streak together. They're getting closer, inching closer to that second wild card. You know, Joe Pavelski's playing well. There's issues with
Pavelski
them.
Pavelski always plays well. He's a Gleason.
Pavelski
coach.
Always plays well. He's the big. He's always been steady that way. They're big guys. They're big guys continuing to start playing well. Holpe and Ned is taking over right now. They have an option to trade. I got another guy you could go after, Hudobin. You could try to trade for him if you're Edmonton. But they got to start putting it together. You know, Klingberg wants out, but the thing is they're still right there. Unless they fall out more, I still think they're going to try to use guys as own rentals to make a push.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Dallas has a good base, no question about it. I mean, to me, number four on defense, that's the big piece for them on defense. The key thing for them was getting settled on goalie, you know, because they had like a lot, way too many choices when this season started. And now that they're settled, you know, people forget that, you know, you need to know the goalie behind you because they all have different styles. And as a defender, you have to know where you're most needed to protect that goalie.
I agree too. I mean, I think they're going to keep at least most of them that are as important for them to make a run this year, like the rentals at the trading deadline. It's nice to see Hopi regaining some of that old magic in him since, you know, a couple of seasons since Washington. You know, when he left in his free agent year and they used Grubauer to get him to get up this game to win the cup when he was actually not the number one goalie at a certain point. Then went to Vancouver. Then he went to Vancouver.
Drinking the water bottle.
But at least I give him credit Like I used to say, he signed with Vancouver. He could have gotten a lot more running off of that cup win. But even probably in himself, he was like, I haven't had good years, you know. And now that pride in a goalie, and he, you know, maybe he's healthy for the first time in a couple of years. Don't know. It looks like it's good he's playing good because Ottinger's had a little bit of a setback, a little slip. So they're riding on Hopi. And he's propelled himself to a trade to a, you know, if they fall out of contention, for a team to maybe ride him into the playoff run this year, because he got Ottinger, and Hudobin's not going to get that kind of get back since, you know, that 2020 run, and now
the bubble run to the Cup final for Dallas that year. I mean, but again, you know, obviously Pavelski was there, but Corey Perry, I mean, he was, and now he's down in Tampa doing his thing. But Dallas is a team to keep an eye on in that Central Division, playing really well. We'll see what happens there. I know another big thing happened during the week. Keith Yandel's Ironman streak continues. He set the record, passing Doug Jarvis. So congrats to Keith Yandel for, you know, playing this many games in a row, especially at a position like defense.
Yeah, without a doubt. Playing in a position like defense and playing in a league that's as fast as this league. I know there were a couple of times in Florida it looked like he was going to get the bench, but either he overcame it or there were some injuries and he had to stay in the lineup. But, yeah, I mean, and he's been well-traveled too. So I think that's a tougher way to keep the Ironman streak, because usually guys who are this well-traveled usually miss games here and there.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, it's sad that they use the COVID issue to stop a streak. I'll be honest with you, that bothered me. With the guy got COVID, now he can't play his streaks over. It's not an injury. It's an illness everyone's going through. I mean, it's kind of like tainted in a way to stop a person's streak. Like, whose was it earlier this year? He was from COVID and his streak was stopped. He was like right behind him. I mean, injuries, illness, I mean, give it to Yandel. I mean, he had his Rangers stay too and then left. And some guys even do better out of New York. Like, again, not everyone can play in New York. But he's let, I mean, he.
Well, his big thing was he was
to not get injured
in Arizona.
Yeah. But, you know, good for him. You have, what was it, Phil Kessel's like right behind him.
Yeah, I mean, Kessel, I mean, considering what how he – look, Phil the Thrill, I mean, he's playing the way he plays in the shape that he's in. He still is doing his thing out in Arizona, and that's a guy that's probably going to be on the market at the deadline as well. I mean, there's so much time to the deadline. It feels like the clock's off. It feels like it should be next month. But it's only going to be in March that the trade deadline's going to happen. Talk about two teams that appear no one can beat them at home. Colorado and Florida have two of the best home records in the National Hockey League. I think Colorado's winning streak at home is up to 17 in a row. I think Florida only has three losses at home. These two teams know how to get it done on home ice.
They do, but you got to think that when those cold weather teams get down to Florida, they're getting involved in a little extracurricular stuff. So that kind of helps a little bit. And in Colorado, that thin air is not easy to play in either. So they, besides being great teams, which they are, they've got a unique home ice advantage that has to do with, you know, their location.
Yeah, and look,
and they are great, because I mean, if you're a terrible team, thin air is not going to help you. And if you're a terrible team, just because of the South Beach party life ain't going to help you. So, but I'm just saying that's part of the mix.
Yeah. Well, let's with Colorado. We were all, well, now was it Ratanen is out, injured.
No, McKinnon's out.
McKinnon's out, and
he took that big hit.
And his stick broke
his nose. And it was the stick that did it. And we won't get into the whole thing, Taylor Hall not answering the bell when they want, you know, that'll be later down the road, you know, with Colorado and Boston, what happened in that game. However the deal is, whoever sticks up for him or whatever that, but with Colorado, Francois and the Kemper deal in goal has created a great competition between those two goalies amongst themselves that's bringing out the best in them that is giving Colorado, well, you know, listen, we made the right – they wanted to prove you made the right deal by signing Kemper. And Francois, like I've been saying at the beginning of the year, as a tandem, I think that's a great tandem. Francois is a righty. He catches with his right hand. He's a right-handed goalie. And he came from the Swedish league, I think, or something, and won a championship. And when Kemper was pulled, that one period has changed the team and brought it to a different, even different level during the winning streak, that your goalies are playing lights out. Now you don't know who your number one is. And then go back to Florida. With Bobrovsky and Knight. And it looks like Knight may have picked up his game too. Yeah, you can't win 6-5 games in the playoffs. I mean, Florida still has to fix that problem in their defense if they want to make a long run, to me. Because you can't win that way. Colorado's playing a tighter game than Florida is. And I think they could be the top two in the Stanley Cup.
Well, I think Colorado has the future Norris Trophy winner sitting in their line.
Yeah, Cal McCarr.
Honestly, no offense to the rest of the great defensemen in this league, but he seems to be on a level that they're not right now.
And it's funny. the Devils and the Flyers had a chance to pick him in that draft year, and both passed. And Dallas could have too, but Dallas took Heiskanen. So I mean, they
yeah. I don't think Dallas could complain from taking.
No, that Dallas game. Can't complain with that. No. I mean, now you could just play revisionist history with Florida, with New Jersey and Philadelphia,
right?
In regards to that, but.
But you know they've what? Had their drafting problems as of late anyway.
Exactly. So
this is just a microcosm of that.
Exactly.
And Philadelphia has gotten rid of to make a good come draft, a new coach, and how they're going to change their.
That team's just a complete mess. Up that, and down.
That team's a dumpster fire.
Feel that bad team, for Hart right now.
Well, you don't know just, who he is anymore because he hasn't had a team play any defense in front of him.
No.
But he showed he came back this year from last year and showed the potential he has. They got to get a team around him before they burn him out or he becomes old enough.
But this team is sinking, and it's a long way away from a rebuild. They might have to have a four-year letter too.
Exactly. They're going to need one because it's not going to get any prettier anytime soon.
They're probably going to move their captain at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they're going to talk to him at the All-Star weekend to see what he wants to do. But I think he would be a great addition to a team looking to contend as well. I mean, look, for me, Colorado and Florida, I mean, they're two best right now. It's probably the two best teams in the league. I mean, Tampa's right up there, too. Yep.
You know what I always say? Champs are champs.
Champs are the champs until somebody beats them.
Until exactly. You get them.
But for me, I think the thing is with Florida, their road record isn't as great. It's starting to get better, but they need to just play. They just need to just play like their game like they do on home ice on the road. Colorado's just a complete team all around.
Yeah,
and that's why they're number one in my power rankings this week because of just what they're doing. Florida just slips a little bit. The Rangers have moved up some. Just go check that out as well. But I mean, there's so many good teams out there. Anaheim's starting to play better again. I mean, Trevor Zegras, unbelievable Michigan goal. I mean, it feels like you would see it every once in a while. Now you see it every so often. These guys are trying it, and I was saying it last night in the locker room. The guys. We're trying things now that they didn't do back in the day. Equipment's so much different. The skill level's so much higher. But,
and nobody's going to take a run at you like they used to if you did.
No. No, you could do that. I mean, you can't do that stuff in the playoffs. I'd like to see somebody do it in a playoff.
No.
That would be impressive. But
you wouldn't have the time to be able to do it.
No, you don't. In the regular season, it's a different game. But it's going to be interesting because I think that Pacific Division right now, Calgary's playing a lot better. They're starting to put their acts together.
Calgary has games in hand.
And that's key for them is the games in hand. Markstrom, Vladard. I mean, yeah, they got beat up against St. Louis, but that was back-to-back. You said, they put up 62 shots against Columbus on Wednesday night. That was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. And you know what? Shout out to Columbus's goalie because there was only a one-goal differential into the second period, and then eventually this wears you down.
Oh. You like from Slapshot.
He had a little Daniel Lemieux kind of game.
That's why goalies like – you see guys like Billington lose it. Like, there are certain goalies that lose it. After a while or something ticks them off and they go after you. Goalies are a different mentality. I have nothing more to say about the subject.
The minute they jumped over the boards.
They were on the hunt. They were putting up goals left and right. I mean, Goudreau and – Kachuk have raised their stock so much heading into the offseason. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of contracts they get because, I think Goudreau might come back out east. But then again, you never know. If they make a deep run in the playoffs or get to a playoff spot, maybe he decides to save. But we don't know. But it's good to see Calgary playing better because I think they're a good team that can make a run in that Pacific Division, especially with some of the teams not playing as great in front of them. But, big game tonight before we get off the air. Let's tee it up. Big game, Vegas and Tampa Bay. That should be a fun one.
That is the marquee matchup. And Vegas is the wild card here because once this Eichel guy gets healthy and in the lineup, Vegas is playing really well. They're playing really good right now. Imagine how they're going to play when that guy hits stride.
Exactly. Imagine.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining it. That's why I've got them as my finalists from the West.
Yeah, and Lerner looks very big in net again. He's taking that number one spot that they signed him for. He wanted. He proved
and,
in previous series playing
because his coaches have always had confidence in him and liked.
Yeah,
him.
Well, we've documented it on here about how the DeBoer favored Lerner over Fleury.
Exactly.
In that case, And I'm hearing, you know, there's a potential that Alec Martinez may not cut back until the playoffs, so that'll help them with some cap space. When Eichel does,
it'll give him a pop in his legs for the playoffs too.
Exactly. So yeah. You never know. I mean, they're gonna probably somehow they're gonna pull a Tampa. That's gonna be the new phrase of the game. But this is gonna be a fun one. Even
Tampa who did it first.
No, it wasn't.
Chicago.
Chicago did it first.
Exactly.
And then Tampa just did it better.
Way better.
And the first game between these two teams was awesome in Vegas. Stamkos had the winner late. This should be another fun one down in Tampa tonight. This is on the network.
That's the watch game.
That's the game to watch tonight. Yeah. I'm interested to see it. I want to see who play. You know how these teams match up. I it could be a preview of Stanley Cup final. So it's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah.
Anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, just one quick thing. Saw that the Coyotes agreed to play their games at Arizona State University for like 4 or 5 years while they get something settled for an arena in it, and they're going to play in a 5,000 seat venue. Is Mr. Bettman going to allow that, or is it because he's so invested in all these Sun Belt teams doing well that he will let that happen and not admit that maybe the experiment in the desert did not work?
I think my understanding is that if they're going to do it, there has to be a little bit more renovation to that place and have some like luxury suites there if they're going to do it. That way you could get the corporate. I mean, I don't know how they allow it because I know they allow Winnipeg, that's under the league limit, and they did let the Islanders do it as well. But I mean, 5,000 seats, if you're going to do that, you might as well go play in Quebec City or go play
in Houston or in
Oklahoma City. At some point, the league – I mean, Aaron Ward brought this up on TSN 690. He brought up a great point. He's like, you know, the league used to own the Coyotes. They're doing their best, but how come they didn't try as hard in Atlanta or some other places that failed?
Well, especially they didn't try that hard with fan bases in Winnipeg and Quebec City.
In the first place.
The guy who's the commissioner wanted those teams in the Sun Belt area, and that's why I think he's so vested in keeping the Coyotes where they're at, because that's an admission that this didn't work out.
I mean, you know what works out? Winning. And when you only have 3-4 winning seasons since you've moved to the desert,
exactly.
I mean, it doesn't help you move your arena from downtown Phoenix out to the sticks. I mean,
there's no fan base out there.
No.
Out in Glendale. It's literally the middle of nowhere. I mean, that's where the Dodgers and the White Sox do spring training.
They wanted to make this thing the centerpiece of this new facility that was out there. But the problem is the fan base wasn't going to travel. Plus, the team stinks. So who's going to see it? The only good thing this team did was go back to their old jerseys.
Thankfully.
I love those things.
I think
the black jersey. The black jersey is
the best one.
It's just, I love that jersey.
You know, like we were talking last time about with the whole the Canadian issue with arenas and not having people in, and what the Canadian teams and bring them, let them play at different locations instead, and they'll count as their home game. You know, Kansas City, Cincinnati. You know what? If your fans need to come and support your team. And if they're not, put them on the road. Let them play in different venues where fans will probably come out just to see an NHL team, regardless of their record in their city. Cincinnati, I don't think that Cincinnati Stingers,
the PA,
you know, those kind of teams would love to have an NHL team
like that.
You know,
no, they would have to relocate the team to. They'd have Houston. To relocate.
The players' association's not going to let them be the Washington.
But they would rather relocate the team, keep it even, and not do another franchise instead.
I think Quebec City that may be the next logical places to move this team.
I agree. Those are definitely the two most logical places to move the team. The most logical. I mean, as much as I would like to see Quebec City, I think Houston makes the most sense.
It's a top five market for TV.
Exactly. And that's what, and apparently, you know, Phoenix was like a top five market for TV too, but you know, it just didn't work.
But there was nothing to watch.
No, there isn't nothing to watch. And Coyotes aren't good. We'll see what happens. It's a never-ending saga, as I like to see, of the Arizona Coyotes and see where they move, because it changes from week to week. So we'll see what happens. They're definitely going to be a player at the trade deadline, stuff to watch out, especially Mr. Chychrun. So we'll see who else moves along with them. Their goalie ain't going anywhere, so they know they like him. So yeah, he's going to be their franchise. But you know what? Another fun episode today, fellas. It's Hockey Day in Canada. There's games on. Go watch it on the ESPN Plus app, because it's great. Shameless plug for them, because I really enjoy it.
I do too. They better start giving us sponsorship money.
I hope they do.
Because we always plug them.
We do plug them. We plug them big time.
They do a good job.
They do a good job. They absolutely do.
Absolutely.
Some of the national broadcasts I can nitpick on color commentators and play-by-play people.
But I've never been a fan of national broadcasts. I love the idea of using the home team announcers, or mixing the one announcer from each team together on the same broadcast.
I would love that.
Yeah.
You get a great flavor, because those guys know the teams in and out, because they watch them for all those games, as opposed to the national guys who just parachute in.
And then they'll get in the fistfights in the booth, like, "Bro, what do you mean? I want to get out of here." You know, you get those hockey guys doing it from each team. You know, come on, bring it back, man. Bring it back.
So, you know what? It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good day of hockey. Thanks again for everybody for tuning in, for commenting, watching us along. We're definitely taking strides with the show. Each week we try to get better and better. And remember, where you hear things first. It's not only those true insiders. It's here on The Last Word on Hockey. This has been Season 3, Episode 14. It's Jim Berenger, Coach J, Mark Weiss. Have a good one, everybody, and stay safe out there.
Take care.
Good night, all.